Do we start the recording?
Yes, it is 75th. Here goes.
Cheryl,
this conference is being recorded.
This is July 25th, 2018. When in Phoenix, of all places, and everybody everywhere, and this is our call where you guys submit questions, and we talk to these sources, and they answer them in this process called channeling. And many of you have been listening to our calls for a long time, and if you do that, you get a feeling for who the Elohim are. You know, there's a tendency when you have, when you're doing channeling, and you have particularly a source with an exalted name, there's a tendency to think that they know everything. They're going to tell us what to do, and everything will shift. And nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, if some channel source seems to indicate those kinds of abilities, and some do, or they seem to, there's usually some level of disempowerment that's taking place. Because there's a lot of very fine points about interfacing with a higher dimension. And one of them has to do with co-creation and not giving your power away to some exalted source that's going to tell you what to do. And if you have a really, really good source, then they won't tell you what to do, but they'll position you to look inside of yourself and come to your own conclusion. They'll give you guidance. Hi there, would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hey.
And Jeannie. Jeannie from Citrus Heights. Hi, Wynn.
Hey.
Hi, Jeannie.
Who was that just came?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Jane!
Yes.
One of my favorite voices.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I say the same thing. This is Wynn. Would I like to say your name and your city?
Yes, positive greetings from Sedona.
It's Raiden.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, everyone.
AKA Kit. Would you guys like to see your name and your city?
Roger in Austin.
Roger in Austin?
Yes, sir.
Who
Hello,
else?
It's Peggy Huntington.
Peggy?
Hi.
Hi, Peggy.
I finally made it.
Where are you?
How am I? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, how come it took you so long to make it?
Because I forgot last week. I didn't have it on my calendar. I feel very badly about that because I am really in need. I'm a good listener, Wynn.
Did you send a question in today?
Well, I was going to, and I had it all written out, and then I saw that you said maybe it's better to listen to one session first.
Yes.
But I will if you want me to.
Yeah, don't. Well, actually, I got to tell you.
What?
Today, we're not going to do a session. We're going to do a replay. Okay?
Wait, I can't hear you very well. Can you speak a little louder? I've got to get a hearing aid.
We're going to do a replay today, okay?
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Well, you'll get the feeling for it. But,
okay.
Hey, this is Wynn. Would you like to see one City.
What?
What?
I'll be much better when I get my hearing aid. That's on my wish list.
Okay. Now, who just came on?
I don't know.
Susan
Me.
In Virginia.
Susan, hi, Susan.
I win.
Susan.
How's
perpetual,
Terry?
The perpetual dilemma.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Wynn. Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I haven't been here in a while. Good to hear you.
I love that Missouri accent.
Uh-huh. I still haven't figured out what a Missouri accent is.
Well, it's kind of like this, man, you know. I don't know if that's a good... Is that a good imitation of Ron's accent?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to say their name in the city?
Dr. Art Franklin, Hampton, Virginia.
Hey, ADR. Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
You have your docs in a row.
Yep.
Anybody else on there? So I was just telling Peggy, we're going to do a replay tonight. And those of you that submitted questions, I apologize in advance that we can't do them. And we have a good excuse, because Terry's in the hospital.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask. Let's pray. Well, say a prayer.
We'll do that. We'll do that before I stop talking, okay?
Yeah.
But people are always asking how she is. And I will tell you, you guys may not realize this, but Terry is stubborn. How many of you can tell Terry is stubborn? Certainly. Oh.
Huh? Is he as stubborn as you are?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know if I'm
stubborn. No, but a close second.
Okay. So,
how long has she been in the hospital?
Just wait a second. Everything will come out, okay?
Okay, okay.
All right. And who just came on? You want to say your name in your city?
Oh, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Well, you're doing a good job helping us keep St. Louis together.
Well, thank you. You all are doing most of the work.
Well,
the group, you know.
The group is doing it.
Yeah.
And you're in St. Louis is always one of our focal points, and you're there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it makes a difference.
Well,
okay, so everybody's asking about Terry, okay?
Yeah.
So,
me too.
You know, Terry started having the same symptoms that she had a year ago when she was getting very, very spacey, very low energy, and I told her, we got to go to the hospital. And she said, no, I don't even want a hospital. And I said, we got to get a blood test. And so we finally got a blood test. And we're waiting for the results of the blood test. And every day she's going downhill, okay? And you know, the symptoms are that after this happened last time, that she had stage 4 lymphoma in her bone marrow. And she wasn't producing blood. And so her blood count's going down, and as it goes down, her energy goes down, okay? And so, you know, at that time, I didn't know much about cancer, except that people were scared of it, and it was like a death sentence. That's all I knew. But I just, you know, I spent quite a few months learning everything about cancer, the thing that broke the camel's back was the healing from Kimberly, okay? And after which she didn't need any blood until, you know, right now. And her blood was so low this time. She's getting, it's like, it was as if half the blood was in it, wasn't in her body, okay? So they're right now, they moved her from Camp Verde, which is like 20 miles from Sedona, Phoenix. And the last I saw of her was last night when they moved her into the ambulance to take her to Phoenix. And they took her to a hospital in Phoenix where she knows a doctor here that we had met, and she likes him. And they said they were not well-equipped enough to handle it there in Camp Verde. So I just drove down to Phoenix, and I've been talking to her on the phone all day, and she's feeling better, and they're filling her up full of blood. But I haven't seen her today. I'm sitting in the parking lot of the hospital. I'm going to go up to see her, okay? And probably end up sleeping in the hospital room. So that is the update. And I mean, yesterday she was so bad. I said, shit, I hope she doesn't die. I mean, she was spacing out, saying, I'm not being in my body. And finally, I said, we got to go to the hospital. And she finally agreed, you know? Now, I don't know. I felt like just grabbing her and saying, we're going to the hospital. Get in the car, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'll be an abusive man, right? But it's like, I think she's going to be okay. I think she'll even be better than ever. And we have resources. The only thing we don't have is money. So I might be doing another push for the GoFundMe or Terry in the next few days. So last time, people were very generous. We don't need that much money this time. But, you know, one of the things that was happening is she was doing certain protocols, like she was getting vitamin C drips every week. And they're expensive. They're costing like, her doctor was giving it to her at cost, and it was still $100 a week. Now it's up to at least $150 a week at cost, you know? So, for the last 2 months, she hasn't done it. And then she was doing Ron Drucker's Digesticure, and she really likes that. And, that works in general. So some of the things she was doing, she cut back on because we didn't have enough money to keep it up, and she was feeling good. And other things that aren't so expensive, she still stopped doing them rigorously. So I don't know exactly what was the straw that broke the camel's back, but we're back in the hospital again. But she sounded, you know, I called her like 5 times today, and her spirits were going up every time. She's on her 4th unit of blood. She's probably going to be here at least 3 or 4 days. And so I'm going to go up and see her. She's anxiously awaiting me at this point. And Heiss is going to do a replay.
Are you going to do Kimberly again?
I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do, okay?
Okay, okay.
I might do it. I mean, I'll probably have to raise... Kimberly raised her prices, you know?
Yeah, $300, yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Well, maybe she'll give you a special deal since, you know, you helped...
Well, she might do it for nothing because we did so many things and we brought her We brought her a lot of business, you know?
Yeah, you did.
So, but she doesn't even know Terry's in this. We haven't gotten up to that yet.
Right, can I ask a question? Did Terry... fall back on some of the stuff that was working on her? What products,
you know,
or whatever?
Well, you know, you're never sure exactly what's actually working, although you can think something's working. I mean, my my thought is I discovered so many things that are good for her issues that, you know, she's taking a lot of them, and some of them. I mean, I know she likes carnivora, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Terry is a sucker for salesmen. She listens to George Norrie, and she hears that guy talking about carnivora all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's one of the crucial things. She was taking digestive cure.
It's good for your immune system, you know.
Yeah. She was taking a digestive cure, and she really liked that. She was taking Hemohem. She really liked that. And she was getting vitamin C drips. And she really liked that. I know the vitamin C drips were one of the most powerful things, because every time she had one, her energy would go up, you know? I could see it, you know? So we just have to get her on all those protocols again.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure she'll be okay. It just feels like, you know, if we did this once, we can do it again.
Right.
And now she knows. She knows. You know, the first guy we ran into when this first happened with Terry was this doctor, Dr. Silver, who had a cancer clinic, Phoenix. And he himself had stage 4 lymphoma 20 years ago, and he was still alive. Mm-hmm. And he treated himself alternatively. He did a lot of IV drips. And he was, I think he was a really good doctor. But he exploited people. He was, you know, he turned my stomach. We didn't, even with all the money we collected, and we gave him almost 10 grand by the time we were finished, it was going to cost 50 grand. And I said, what if we can't finish this whole program? But one of the things he said was, once you have stage 4 lymphoma, you need to keep, you can never let back or it'll come back. Okay?
Yeah.
And Terry let back. So, listen, Heise is going to do a replay. I'm going to go up and see Terry. Do a little prayer for her. And
when you will be here for the Whole Planet Healing, you think?
I'll be here for Whole Planet Healing, yeah.
Shall we do a prayer for her at the Whole Planet Healing?
Okay, let's do a prayer at Whole Planet Healing, okay?
Okay.
All right.
In fact, maybe I'll do a Whole Planet Healing in the room with her, you know?
Can we just do two prayers?
I love you, Terry, for all of this.
Yeah, yes, please.
Love to her.
Yeah. But okay. I'll have her say hello, maybe. She'll probably like to do that. And she'll feel the energy. And, you know, it's really good for her to know how important she is to people. And I know she is. But, you know, believe it or not, you know, she goes, she has her side that feels worthless. And you know, she can't feel enough of it. You know, I mean, she is, like, priceless. I know that. You know that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I'm hanging up. I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, Wynn.
Love you.
Love you.
Wynn.
Yeah,
I got some links from startpage.com for how natural treatments for lymphoma.
Natural fruits.
Natural treatments for lymphoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at.
Well, you know what?
There's a lot of good ones there.
Send me the links. But you know what?
Okay.
I'll tell you, man. I swear. Here's the thing, Dharmanand. I have like 50 people that send me things that are good for Terry. And she has a limited attention span.
Yeah,
it's
like,
you know, she sits in a chair and she has bottles of stuff that she doesn't take, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like something that comes from a very high credible source, you know? And someone's a good salesman. I'll get back with Dr. Art, because I'm sure he can recommend more stuff to her.
Right.
But I thank you, Dharmananda, you know?
Okay.
And thank all you, right. Thank you all. And
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you, Ben. Love to you and to Terry. We're going to play a recording from 2014, March the 19th.
This is March 19th, 2014.
A little bit.
Wynn and Terry is from Carolyn in Alaska, and the other is from Sean, and Sean didn't give his address or his city. Okay. Carolyn's question is, when people pray to God, who are they praying to? And Sean's question is, when I pray the Our Father or Lord's Prayer, who hears my prayer? Does the Creator hear me, the Elohim? The Bible tells us that Jesus taught us to pray this prayer. Did he give us this prayer to help us connect with God or the collective source or something else? Thank you for your guidance. I send you love and my humble gratitude. And that is from Sean.
Thank you. Give us a moment. I'm going out of the channeling mode because I hear something in the kitchen. Well, maybe it's outside. Maybe it's the birds. Okay. It seems quiet. All right. I'll get back into the meditation. This is a very interesting question because when you focus, when you pray, if you focus, you can focus on the Elohim, us. You can focus on God, the all it is. Give us a moment. There's noises in the kitchen. This is curious. I need really quiet. Sometimes the quail come up to the window and they peck at the window. But that wasn't the quail, so I turned off the noises. All right. Let me get back into the channeling mode.
You want me to bring the light in again, Terry?
It's here. It's here.
Okay.
When you pray, you direct your prayer depending upon who you see as the one that can come in and connect with you. Some people direct their prayer to Allah, some people to Jesus, some people to Christ, some people to God. Some people direct their prayer to the universe in general. And they ask for whatever help is out there to come in. And there are different ceremonies. There are different cultures. And they direct their prayers to a specific group. Some direct their prayers to their guides, to their angelic guides. Help is out there, and it depends upon, one, who you direct your prayer to. And we say who, but we do not mean a person. God is all that is, and God is outside of space and time. So God, when you say Father, then you may get the Christ consciousness, the Trinity, the Father part of the Trinity, which is a part of the Ra group. You may go deeper and you may get the God, the all that is. And you may go outside of space and time to contact the God of all, the ultimate creator. During history, of the Elohim have been known as God at various times. We do not look at ourselves as God. We are merely caretakers of the realm and creators of the realm, using the techniques and using the laws that have been set up by the ultimate creator, the one infinite creator. Does this help?
Yes. When a person uses a name, how important is the name as opposed to the intent of the person? In other words, perhaps there's an Elohim soul in this realm, and they happen to be brought up, and the name they used was Allah. Would they tend to get Allah, or would there's a chance they would get the Elohim?
It depends upon the intent of the person. And if the intent is to bring through the higher soul group, it does not matter the name. It is the intent that matters. If you do an experiment just within your daily life where you intend one thing, totally intend it, but you say another thing, you will see that sometimes the person gets what you intend, not what you have said. It is not the name that matters. It is the intent. Thank you.
Okay. Now, we have a question. We have a number of people asking questions about the plane that disappeared and the situation in the Ukraine. And I'm going to just leave it open-ended how you would like to answer that.
Thank you. These are very important issues right now. Is the two issues could be tied together. If you just look at the facts, you have the issue in Ukraine and Crimea, and you have the U.S. attempting to achieve a certain result there, and you have the Russians. In Ukraine, the people in Ukraine speak Russian. The people in Crimea speak Russian largely. and they are tied to Russia. You have an attempted intervention by the U.S. to bring Ukraine into the European Union. We suggest you look in the area of oil and the benefit that the U.S. would get by having Ukraine be more allied with the West, and it's a 5-ton pipelines, oil pipelines through the area. We see a statement by such as McCain indicating that Ukraine is nothing but a gas station, and then tie that to the potential for oil in connection with the West in Ukraine. We see that this is a dangerous situation. And then we look at the plane. The plane has taken everyone, not everyone, but has taken a majority of the news of the world focused on the plane. The plane has not been found in the water. The plane, we see the plane is still above ground, still intact, and that it could be a potential use for research for the word nefarious purposes to back someone's political position. And we see that prayers are needed during this situation, that the events can disalign between the plane and Ukraine, that events can begin to take on their own resonance instead of being connected. And that the, as we speak slowly, and we see connections dissolving. To put things into perspective, prayers are needed at this point, as there are negative features apparent at this time that would bring war. So we, as we're speaking, put the dissolution, dissolving of connections, bringing the purposes of the different groups of individuals by this, the people that have taken over the plane, bringing them back to themselves, disconnecting them from the goal that they personally had, disconnecting, bringing it back to where they are and their own life, and having them, asking them to reconsider. And then the larger group, having them question and reconsider. And then the people interested in intervening in Ukraine, having them take a look at their motivations and reconsider. We do put this out there and suggest prayers are in order. Those are comments.
Can we take a moment of silence and just put our energies into those prayers with you?
Yes.
Thank you.
And let's add the healing of Terry.
Okay, next question. This is from Cleo in New Canaan, Connecticut. I'm trying to wrap my mind around the response Ra gave to the question of who goes where as we enter the fourth density. I'm not sure if it was Ra from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce or from the Ra challenge of Carla. Ra said that harvestable entities of positive polarity will remain in this planetary influence, but not upon this plane. Harvestable entities of negative polarity going to another fourth density planet, and unharvestable entities going to another third density planet. Please explain the difference between harvestable entities of positive polarity and harvestable entities of negative polarity. I'm going to make a comment here because I had that question to Carla Ruckert some time ago. And what she said was that it has to do with having your heart chakra open. And it's possible for a service to self being to have a heart chakra open, but it has to do with loving themselves. And it doesn't have to do with being a service to others. That was her answer to that question. But that being said, let me turn it over to our sources and see what they have to say.
Thank you. One is harvestable. That means that they, within themselves, are able to move into a higher density. They are open to it. They have the potential to move. Unharvestable ones do not have the potential or the desire even to move to the higher light. When one has the ability to move to the higher light, they can be positive, which is easier, but they can also be largely negative, and this seems unlikely perhaps to some, but they of the will to move through all of the gateways, all of the blockages, and to penetrate through to the higher density. And this is allowed because of their love for themselves, which gives them thrust and drive and impetus to move into the fourth density. Does this help?
Yes, but the further question is, is the scenario that there's actually going to be two planets or two Earths, two fourth density Earths, one positive or one negative, or will the positive and the negative end up on the same place?
The positive and the negative will end up in the same place. However, because of the positivity and the negativity, they will tend to isolate into groups, and the negative will have a harder time, and the time the negative will have will get harder and harder as they go up the ladder, because it takes some duplicity to be negative. If one is negative, then they do not exactly want to tell everyone that they are negative, because then the others will shun them and stay away. So there takes some duplicity to be able to maneuver, and this duplicity will ultimately separate them and cause them eventually to realize that if they wish to be a part of the whole, that they need to give up their negativity.
Thank you. Question. Eric Sofield just is mentioning that he's settling in Santa Fe. He just got there 3 days ago, and he just asked that you send love light to his job interview tomorrow. And that's not exactly a question, but we'll just put that out.
Thank you. We have done this now.
Okay. And next question is from, hang on, from Don Herman. And he has, on page 219 of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, David Wilcock channels, "You've got to listen to your own inner voice. Nothing else will do." To make this question personal, why do I have so much difficulty in discerning my higher inner voice? That's Don Herman.
Thank you. You help other influences in your sphere. And when you tune, you need to tune out the other influences. These other influences are genetic, the track, the genetic, actual physical genetic track, the teachings of your parents, which do training, put you into their frame of mind, sometimes unconsciously, as it is so much a part of you and your belief systems. The othernesses in society, the thoughts of others that waft through your space, consensus reality that is not always apparent, but is assumed. Observation is one of the ways you can check this out. When a thought comes through, see if you resonate with it. And if you don't, just let it disintegrate, let it go on by. Thoughts can not only come from consensus reality or from the neighbors or from other telepathic beings. They can be projected from Project Blue Tube, from a satellite, or from other magical, mystical sources. Finding your own sense of your own self is one of the most important things that you can do, and then you can sigh a big sigh of relief. This was not yours. That was not yours. That thought was not yours. And you can remain or become knowledgeable of your own higher self, that you are brilliant, that you know the way, that you sense the way. And once you discard the unwanted, you become more and more you. And it is a beautiful treasure.
Thank you. This is from Marilyn in Pittsburgh. Last night when I was in bed, something touched me on the back, near my left shoulder. It was definitely something as noticeable as a human touch would feel. I did not feel either love or fear from it, but I opened my eyes and turned round to check it out, and I saw nothing. I am wondering if it was negative or positive, as I generally feel little chills and a loving vibration when I feel a light touching. And it's usually around my head and much softer. Can your sources tell me what this was? And should I allow myself to be open to it or tell it to stop? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see, do not get too lovey-dovey or friendly or cuddle up to it. But to simply, not with words, but with loving firmness, to see it keeping its distance and finding its own path, its own way.
Thank you. Okay, here's another dream question. I have a question for the Elohim. I have experienced out-of-the-body experiences and lucid dreaming since I was a very small child. This to the point where I always look forward to sleep and otherworldly travels. The only drawback for me is what I call crash landings. I nearly always return to my body with a horrible sense of dread and borderline panic. A feeling of falling into mud or sludge. It only lasts for a moment until I open my eyes, but it is disturbing nonetheless. I have been able to determine certain pre-birth agreements and rarely complain about operations of this density. No one ever said it would be easy. I would, however, appreciate any tips on navigation between realms. I thank you, all of those now connected and future wanderers. Kind regards and best bright blessings, and that's from Philippi, in Los Angeles.
Thank you. When you are between the sleep and the wake state, we recommend that you keep a diary by your bed and to write those feelings in there. Muddy, slush, mud, crash, landing. Just write those phrases in there of what you feel. And as you get more and more phrases in your book, see if it makes a pattern. Also, when you go to sleep, ask that you can no more get some learning dreams about how to handle the transition when you are moving back to your body and awakening. It is a lower density, and dreams can be very heightening, delightful, lightening. And it's like moving into a denser place. So see what you can observe more about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from Hives. And he asks, when I see chemtrails in the sky, I ask for a love light to surround it and to disarm it. Is this the most effective way for nullification when being at the spot? And I'll add to Mrs. Lynn adding, is there anything else that we can do? And is it possible to disarm or neutralize whatever negative effects chemtrails might have? Thank you.
You can also ask your body to eliminate the effects of chemtrails, the aluminum, the barium, to have your body change the codes so that they do not catch on and block the brain and various systems in the body, but that they can slide on off, move on out.
So,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I thought you were finished. Okay.
The chemtrails are changing the environment, putting more aluminum in the soil. And another thing that you might wish to do is ask in your prayers that there can be a hearing or an opening up of consciousness to what these chemtrails are doing, and that this can be changed at the level that has authority to change the dropping of the chemtrails.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. And the question is from, a second, let's see, this one's too long. We don't have time for this one. Those of you who are sending questions, it's good if you try to laser your question in so it's like down to three sentences. Sometimes I know that's not easy because you want to make the point of the experience. Okay, Dave and Mesa, so we have last question tonight. I had three cats that I think passed away in a fire in 2001, December 17th, I believe. They were Bubba, Michael, and soldiers. They were in Ben's arms and jumped out when he hit the front door. Did they make it out alive, or did they go back into the burning house? No trace of the bodies were ever found in the rubble. Thank you, Dave and Mesa.
We take a look one at a time. We see the first one did not burn, but got trapped and did not get discovered. And passed on. We see the second one did not make it. And the third one did not make it. We do not see that they made it out up there.
Thank you. So we have another minute. Let's just take a moment of silence, of putting our energies together and blessing our planet for peace, compassion.
We wish to say prayers concerning the Ukrainian situation and prayers concerning the missing flight, to render the missing flight harmless. Really important. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll focus on that.